Tonight, we're starting a new series that I've called Purpose. And what I'm just going to be doing is just to remind us all to, well, not just remind us really, but just to highlight a number of things about purpose, what it actually means in our context. And I know that, I don't know about you guys, but oftentimes when I hear, you know, people say, what's your purpose, or let's talk about purpose, or things like that, it sounds very motivational, sounds very high sounding. But we're going to be looking at purpose from a very simple perspective as it relates to you and I. And at some point, we'll look at how we can actually walk in the purpose of God. Now, even saying that phrase, working in the purpose of God, again, sounds very far off. But what I'm just going to try and do by the grace of God is just to bring these things down in a way that is really simple. And I believe, you know, God wants us to see the simplicity of the word, so nothing complicated at all. And that, you know, by the time we finish this series, my prayer is that it will wake something up in us again, or it will kindle something in us as well again, that will help us to see that this life that we live is an exciting life. The life that we live, or the life we have, is a gift from God that we need to really live out as God wants us to live it, whilst having a good time as well. All right, so all said and done, today we're looking at the first part of purpose. I suspect that we're going to have maybe three or four series, but we'll just see as it goes. So today I'm just going to give us context about purpose from God's perspective. Then as we go along, we'll look at purpose in terms of you as an individual, you as a parent, purpose for children, how do we help them to begin to work in God's purpose. So we're going to look at all the aspects as much as we can subsequently. But today we're just going to give it context, and I'll be looking at 5 points tonight just to start us off. The first one I'll be looking at is what is purpose? Now, I just got a dictionary definition of purpose, just generally speaking, not looking at it entirely from a biblical perspective yet. And here, the definition I got is, it says, purpose is the reason for which something is done or created, or for which something exists. So this online dictionary meaning definition tells us a number of things. It says it's the reason. So we underline that word, reason. It's the reason, that is the underlining factor, if I can use that term, for which something is done. So there's the doing part, and for which something was created, and for which something exists. So that's what purpose is talking about. When we look at the online dictionary definition, meaning that's what it gives us. So we highlight a number of things here in this regular definition. There's a purpose for a reason for which something is done. We're not going to focus too much on that. That represents intent sometimes. But the bit I want us to focus on is for which something was created and for which it exists. So what this definition is telling us is, whenever something is created, or you have, if I use very simple terms, like a product is created, there's a purpose for it. For example, if you go to the shops and you're looking around and you see like a car steering wheel, someone just didn't, you know, say, okay, I'm just going to do a car steering wheel and that's it. No. A lot of times when things are created, it's because there's a reason for it. So car steering wheel is created so that you can fit it in a car and you can drive the car with it. Car tires, you know, created so you can put the car tires on the tire. So what I'm saying is different things that are, well, most things that are created are done with an intent in mind, with a purpose to fulfill. So the camera I'm looking at the moment was created so that it can, you know, transmit films. People just didn't create the camera just so that it could sit on the side and, you know, just say, okay, this is a camera, what's it for? things just don't happen. So we begin to see that even if we look at it just from a physical perspective, everything that we see around us, a chair, a table, a lamp, all these things were created with a purpose in mind. They were not just randomly created and left on the shelf. Do you understand what I mean? So I think this is quite an interesting definition. If we now jump into our existence as believers, as human beings, I'll start with as human beings. The second point I want to make here is that God created us as human beings for a purpose. We have a purpose. So anyone that has appeared on this earth, no matter how you got here, realize that God has a purpose for you. There's a reason why you were created as a human being. There's a reason for why you were born. We'll look at that in a moment. So we see those points from the definition of what purpose is, just looking at it ordinarily. Now, the second point I want to make tonight, I'm just going to make 5 points tonight, is that following the purpose for which you were created as a human being. Now, I'm not even talking as a believer, just as a regular human being. I'm saying regular human being, just as a human being, born again or not born again. Following purpose is what gives us true fulfillment. Following purpose, or living in line with purpose, the purpose for which God has created us. And when I say the purpose for which God has created us, I'm not talking about just in the context of maybe doing something in the church in form of ministry. No, I'm just talking about generally speaking, even in your ordinary everyday life. Following purpose is what brings fulfillment. Now, when I say following purpose, a lot of the times our purposes aren't they're not obvious. Oftentimes, God has a way of just, you know, edging you and I into what our purpose is, or edging people into what their purpose is, what their purpose is. Not necessarily because they're born again, but just, you know, God, we're all created in the image of God. So God just says, okay, this person, this is what your purpose is. These are the things that you're going to be doing. These are the skills. These are the things I've put inside you so that you can function in this particular realm or in this particular field. So when I'm saying purpose brings fulfillment, I'm talking about fulfillment even as it relates to your job, as it relates to your career, as it relates to your ambitions in life. Purpose affects all those things. So purpose, walking in our purpose at whatever level, is the only thing that brings us fulfillment. Now, let me give us an example. If someone has the purpose, or let me not say has a purpose. If someone's purpose has something like maybe being, for example, an accountant, you'd be surprised that the abilities that we have, God has, you know, coded it in us. And you find someone who they love numbers and, you know, anything that has to do with numbers, accounting, math, count them in. And when they're in that kind of field, or they're studying those subjects, it just fills them with a lot of, you know, excitement. They're happy. And on the other hand, you have someone who has absolutely no desire for maths or anything like that, and their purpose is, let's say, for example, singing and, you know, maybe the arts, for example. Now, because God encodes us with certain skills and giftings, as they go into the arts and they, you know, maybe they become a musician, or they become like an actor or something like that, they find that, wow, I'm really, really enjoying this. Now, why are they enjoying it? Well, people enjoy it for different reasons, but it's something that God has put in on the inside of us, that when we find, or not find, when we're living in the context of purpose, we begin to get real fulfillment in those things that we do. And one thing I have to, you know, really say is that we have only one life to live. So anyone who who's feeling really, really unfulfilled in whatever it is they're doing, maybe their job or their career or something. I'm not saying feeling unfulfilled because of difficulty, you know, of exams or, you know, doing certain things. No, I'm not talking about difficulty. I'm talking about just an emptiness in terms of a career that one is doing, an emptiness in the sense of even the a form of ministry that someone is doing. Then you need to check out if God has actually called you to function like that. There's some people who are evangelists and they end up being put in positions of pastoring and they really do not like it at all, but they're just like, well, this is where I found myself. But they're just not fulfilled in the purpose of, in the calling of being a pastor, because really they're not, that's not what God has made them for. On the other hand, there are people who are pastors and, you know, you push them out to be evangelists worldwide and it's just not something that they've been called to do. Now, the Bible says we should do the work of an evangelist if you're a pastor, whatever. But what I'm just saying is, even in ministry, one might be doing things or involved in a line of purpose that is not really for you, and that just brings a sense of unfulfilled dreams, a sense of lack of fulfillment, and life just becomes a drudge, boring, and all those things. So what am I saying here? I'm just saying that following purpose, or when we're in our purpose as human beings, I'm going to talk about spiritually as well, that's when we begin to find fulfillment in life. If you look at 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 7. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 7. It says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Here, you know, it's looking at purpose bringing fulfillment. Paul the apostle, at the end of his life, he could look back and he could say to himself, yes, I have really done what I was created to do. I have done all God has put in my heart to do. And this is really important. And I mentioned something earlier that we have just one life to live. And the question we want to ask ourselves all the time is, if I were to die tomorrow, not that I want anyone to die tomorrow, would I be able to say, would you be able to say comfortably that, okay, based on where I am in life, I have done everything that I believe I am meant to have done. I have done all the, if I was meant to be a singer, I have sang as I should, in the context I should have been singing. If I was meant to be whatever it is I was meant to be from a church perspective as well, I've done all the things. I have not held back. I have not, you know, postponed things. I have not taken the easy route out just for convenience. Do you understand? That's a question we need to ask ourselves all the time. Because if one cannot comfortably answer the question to yourself on a daily basis to say, look, if I were to go tomorrow, I know that today, everything I've done till this point, I'm happy with it. Now, I'm not saying that we don't make mistakes in life. There are things that we obviously will regret, well, that we often not will regret, that we regret that we did. Maybe we made choices that we, you know, were not really good for us, which we all make. So everybody makes mistakes. But I'm talking about you having a core underlining sense that, yes, I've made mistakes here and there, but to the best of my ability, I have done what I'm meant to do. I have lived how I was supposed to live. All the things that I wanted to achieve, I didn't just postpone them forever. I actually started them. Do you understand? So purpose, living in purpose is the only thing I believe that can bring us proper fulfillment. Do you understand? All right, so that's the second point I'm making tonight. The third point I want to make here is this. God has a purpose for you and I. Now, when I say purpose for you and I say God has a purpose for you and I, it's not just focusing on the spiritual aspects of life. Now, I mean, from what I see in scripture and in the context of what we're talking about tonight, I would say that God this is my own category really, has two forms of purposes for us. There is one that is spiritual, and there is one that is what I'll call a natural, everyday, physical purpose too. Now, if you look at 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, says something here. It says, according as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. So this 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 that I just read says that God has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. So that's where I've come up with these two forms of purpose. Life is everything we do on a daily basis, go to school, go to work, our relationships, just the things that we do on this earth. And the other one is the spiritual side of things. When I say spiritual side of things, I'm talking about one entering into the purpose of God spiritually speaking. Well, not spiritually speaking, in the spiritual side of things. And I'll explain what I mean by that in a minute. Now, so what I'm saying is that every human being that is born onto this earth, God, I believe, knows what he has created you for. He knows what you're going to be doing, and he encodes those skills, those giftings in you. He gives you certain abilities, whether you're born again or not. He gives you certain abilities that are unique to you, that align with the purposes that he has ordained for you. Now, and I've said life, as we've seen in 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 3, and godliness. So life, the physical things we do on earth here, godliness, the spiritual side of things. Now, if I start with like the life part, the regular things that we do while we're on earth here, one thing that we'll realize is this. God has, in most cases, ordained certain individuals to do certain things and ultimately to suit his purpose for mankind, whether they're born again or not. Now, everyone who is born into this earth, they have the things that God has encoded into them for life. For the spiritual side of things, one has to be born again before one can enter into that part. But for the life part, people just, you're born into it. Now, whether you achieve what God wants has encoded in you now depends on a number of variables, depends on you, the choices you make, so many things. But God has put those things there anyway. Now, there are people who God has ordained that they're going to be very wealthy. And if you look around the world now, you see a lot of individuals who maybe they're really wealthy. They're not even Christians. They have nothing at all to do with God, but they're very enterprising. And they have a lot of money. And some of these guys use that money that they have to help humanity. I don't want to mention any names, but there are quite some popular people who we know that have made millions and billions. And at some point in their lives, they just said, okay, I'm going to use my money to benefit mankind. And they have different types of foundations, grants, helping humanity, even though they're not born again. There are certain people that are gifted singers, whether they're born again or not. And there's some people that you listen to and the way they sing, it just grabs your heart. And it's like, this is weird. So God has given them that gift. They're people who are athletes. God has given them the ability to be able to be physically strong in that matter. They're people who are scientifically inclined. God is the one that gives us all these abilities. So what am I saying? In terms of purpose, God encodes us in a particular way to have certain skills, certain abilities, certain preferences, so that we can walk in the purpose that he has created for us. Now, when I use this term walk in the purpose, I don't want to make it sound, I don't want to overcomplicate it. There are times that you're not even aware that you're working in the purpose that God has created you in, but you're just walking in it because God is just like really gracious, I tell you. So that's the physical earthly side of things that every human being enters. You see some human beings that are very I don't know, just really, really generous. God has put that in them to be generous, and they give and they give and all that. And the people who are really kind, they help people who are disadvantaged. So those are some of the characteristics, some of the leanings that God has put in those people, whether they're born again or not. So still on the third point, we say God has given us everything that pertains to life and godliness. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 3. So we look at the spiritual side of things now. Now, the challenge with that is everyone that is born, God wants them to be born again. If you look at 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 4, it says, it is not, I'm paraphrasing, it's not God's wish. No, it is God's wish that everyone should come to the knowledge of the truth and be saved. So it says everyone, all men. It didn't say people who live in a particular part of the world. It says all men. So it is God's purpose, it is God's plan that all men should be saved. But are all men saved? No. Some people just do not make the choice. Do you understand? So we see that to enter the spiritual purpose of God, one has to be born again. Do you understand? If you look at John chapter 3, Jesus told he told the Pharisee that came to him, it says, except a man be born again, he cannot see, he can't even enter the kingdom of God. Do you understand what I mean? So the entrance into the spiritual destiny that God has ordained for every human being is through Christ. Now, the same way that God has he has purposes for every human being that's born for the physical side of things, and you don't have to be born again to work in that purpose. He gifts people in that direction, and they just find out they can do certain things better than other people. Now, God is the one that gives them those gifts. In the same way, for God's spiritual purpose, God also, as one enters into his spiritual purpose, he gives that individual or every individual the necessary giftings to fulfill those spiritual purposes. He gives those giftings to every, you know, to fit that purpose. Now, if you look at Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5, Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5, it says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. So we see the spiritual side of things here, where God, for Jeremiah, had ordained him to be a prophet even before he was born. He knew him. Now, Jeremiah was born and he became a prophet. But mind you, not everybody that God has ordained to be a prophet, God has ordained to be a pastor, enter that role. There are some people that they just will refuse to be born again. That means their spiritual purpose is not achieved at all. It just goes unfulfilled. Do you understand? But for anyone that yields to the spiritual pulling of God and they become born again, then they enter into the spiritual purpose of God. God releases the gifts onto them and they just function. Now, every believer has a gift. Do you understand? In terms of walking in the purpose of God spiritually. Now, not everybody is going to become a pastor or a prophet, but there are other things. There's the gift of service. There's the gift of encouragement. So many things. Every believer has something to offer, something that God has put in them, and they might not even realize it, but it is there. Do you understand? So we see there that God gives us, God's purposes for us are twofold. But again, like I said, that's my category in the context. There's one that's physical. Everybody enters it. Everybody's gifted in that particular direction. And that just depends on the choices that the people make or that people make. And there's a spiritual one, which one enters as one becomes born again. Then God releases those things to you that you need to fulfill the purpose that God has called you for. Now, the other thing is this. And as I mentioned, this is just to buttress the point that God has given every individual, born again or not born again, the ability to fulfill the gifts in them. or sorry, to fulfill the purpose that God has called them to. Now, more so on a spiritual side, on the spiritual side of things, God gives us this a supernatural ability to fulfill the purpose that he has for us. And that's the fourth point I want to make. Now, if I look at Exodus chapter 31, verses 1 to 6, I'll read that. Exodus chapter 31, verses 1 to 6, talking about a couple of young men that God gifted so supernaturally to help Moses to build and design the ark. And I'll read Exodus chapter 31, verses 1 to 6. It says, Then the Lord said to Moses, "See, I have chosen Bezaliel, son of Uri, and the son of Hur, the tribe of Judah, and I have filled him with the Spirit of God, with wisdom, with understanding, with knowledge, with all kinds of skills, to make artisan designs for work in gold, silver, and bronze, to cut out stones, to work in wood, to engage in all kinds of craft. Moreover," again, "I have appointed Oholiab, son of Ahimaach, of the tribe of Dan, to help him. Also, I have given the ability to all the skilled workers to make everything I have commanded you." So we see here that God is telling Moses that, look, there is something that you need to do. You're going to build an ark, but obviously you, Moses, you don't have all the skills that are required, you know, which also tells us that we all have our parts to play. But the interesting thing here is that God tells Moses that, "I have picked some young men," in this case, Bezaleel and Oholiab, "and I have gifted them, not so that they can just lavish their gifts on themselves. No, I've gifted them so that they can help to build the ark of God." Do you understand? So we begin to see here that there are some people that God has gifted them to sing supernaturally. Now, when I mean to sing, let me even say to do praise and worship, because we can all sing. But I believe that there are people who God gives the special gift, the ability to really sing and connect with the hearts of people as they sing. And God engifts them and graces them with that. And maybe they're even in the church to start with, and they're really blessing people with their songs, and people's lives are really touched because of their singing. And they just say, you know, this singing in church business doesn't appear to be profitable. And they jump out of the church and they begin to sing secular, and they get involved in all sorts of things. That gift will still work. Believe it or not, that gift that God has given them, whatever it is they're singing, however they're singing it, that gift that God has put in them will still work. And it will draw the hearts of men. It's just that it might not draw the hearts of men to God. It might draw the hearts of men to other things apart from God. So that gifting is there, like Oholiab and Bezaleel. So God gave them this gift so that they could fulfill purpose. If I look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 10, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 10, it says, "But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace to me was not without effect. No, it says, I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God that is within me." So the fourth point I'm making here is this: as you step out in, as you become born again, realize that there is something that God has placed inside of you that might not be apparent. I'm telling you, it might not be apparent, but that gift is just dormant inside of you. You might not even know you have it. Do you understand what I mean? That's why the Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 4, talking about the ministry gifts, it says pastors, prophets, teachers, evangelists, apostles are placed in the church so that they can bring people to maturity, so that they can help you as the believer to identify the giftings that God has placed inside of you. I know there are people who have this theory that, you know, I'm part of the church, I don't need to attend a local church, I can just go on the internet and just watch church, I don't need all the stress. You see, that believer is making a big mistake. because there will be no one to help bring out the gifts in them as God has ordained. And God has put ministers, pastors, prophets, all these people in the church to help bring these things out in you. That's why, I think I've become slightly notorious for this. Anytime that people come to like our local church and they decide to join the church, as a pastor, what I do is this. I watch them closely. Well, what I mean, I watch them closely. I'm looking at them and I'm saying, what gift has God put in this person that the person might not just be aware of at all? They might have a sense. So my job is to say, okay, what has God put in this person? And oftentimes people, in my experience, will, I don't know, maybe because sometimes people are a bit shy, they're a bit reserved, they just want to come to the service, listen, and just slip out very silently. But God has put giftings in them. So what I do, and I'm sure you guys will bear witness to this, is I'm always looking at people that come to the church and attend the church because I know that God has put something in them. So for some people, it might be that I know that they can sing and they have absolutely no idea that they can sing. They just think, oh my goodness. But God has given them the gift. There are some people that can play instruments and just say, oh, I can just do a few chords. But God has given them that gift. There are some people that can teach and they're like, my goodness, I will never stand in front. But God has given them the gift to teach. There are some people that they have a heart for hospitality. God has given them that gift. So my struggle now as a pastor is, how do I bring this person out of their shell so that they can walk in the giftings that God has given them? So just note that anytime I'm hassling you or whatever and I'm saying do this and do that, it's just that I'm just trying to force you out so that the gift that God has put in you will come out. The same thing with spiritual gifts, prophesying, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, all these gifts of the Holy Spirit, they are resident in every believer. I'm telling you. But again, a lot of us would just find it hard to believe that. What? Are you saying I can prophesy? Are you saying I can? Yes, you can. So what am I saying? God gives us these gifts, not because we've done anything, as we've seen with Hololeah and Bezaliah. And even in the case of Paul, it's just that those things are there automatically. So it's up to you to, you know, walking that as people highlight that. Now, the last point I want to make here is this. Why should I care about God's purpose for me? Why? Someone might ask that question. What's the big deal? All this purpose stuff that Pastor Benson is just talking about. What does that mean? What was that relevant? What's the relevance to me? Well, one thing I want to say is this. For the person, the main thing I want to say is that purpose has eternal consequences. Fulfilling the purposes of God, they have eternal consequences. Now, if I begin by saying that if there's an individual who is walking in what God has ordained them to be physically, they're wealthy or they're good athletes, they're good singers and all those things, but they're not born again. The Bible has something to say about that. And that's in Mark chapter 8, verse 36. Mark chapter 8, verse 36. It says, "For what will he profit a man if he gains the whole world but loses his soul?" So the first point here is this. For any individual that does not step into the purposes of God for them spiritually by being born again, the Bible is asking them a question. God himself is asking them a question. He's saying, look, okay, fine. You can sing, you can do all these things. You're wealthy, you're well known, you're popular, you're gifted, you're talented. But if you do not become born again, if you do not enter into the spiritual purposes of God for you, it's waste. What's the use? It's just like, for example, you have a car steering wheel and that car steering wheel is just sat on the shelf and everybody's admiring, wow, this is like proper leather, you know, steering. It's, you know, made of mahogany wood and all that, but doesn't fulfill what it's God is saying here. What will he profit a man or woman if they gain the whole world but they lose their soul, they don't enter into the spiritual purposes of God for them. It's a waste, the Bible says. So it has eternal consequences, purpose. Now, the other thing as well is this, looking at the brighter side of things, how about if as a Christian, one decides that as someone who's born again, I'm just not going to get involved with anything that in anything per se in the church. I'm just going to go and I don't want anybody to trouble me and all that. I just want to live my life as a believer. I don't want anybody to, you know, be participating in my life or whatever. Well, for that believer will surely make heaven because they're born again. But when that believer comes face to face with God in heaven, although they're going to have a nice time, they'll be full of regret. Now, the Bible begins to say something here in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8. It says, "For now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day, not only to me, but those who have longed for his appearing." If we look at what Paul said also in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7, it says, "I have fought the good fight," and he was satisfied. So for the believer who is born again but refuses to participate in the church locally, and they're just free agents, they call themselves, or even if they go to a church and they know that there's stuff that they can do, but they just choose not to do it. Now, I don't want anybody to feel guilty. They'll still make heaven, but it will not be a really fulfilled life. I'm telling you, it will not be. That person will be full of regrets. That person will be like, "Oh, how I wish I had done this. How I wish I..." Do you understand what I mean? That person will be full of regrets. Now, why am I saying all this? I'm saying all this because as a pastor, I know that, look, one day God is going to call me. Well, not is going to, I'm going to stand before God. And the Bible says that I will give account for everyone that has come under my care. So everyone, for example, that is in this local church, God is going to call me and say, "For this sister," I know there's no time limit. We have all the time in the world. "For this sister, tell me about her. I brought her to the church. What did you, how did you help her fulfill her purpose? What did you teach her?" It's going to bring all this. You see all these little children, they will become adults. God will bring them before He will bring them before me and say, "Okay, this young person, what did you, I brought them to the church, they were under your care, tell me about them." Now, so why am I saying this? I'm saying that as a pastor for this local church, one of the reasons why I'm going to keep hassling all of you, that at least that come to this church, one of the reasons why I'm still going to be like, "Oh, can you do this? Can you not do this?" So on and so forth, is because I want each and every one of us to fulfill purpose. I want all of us to stand on the judgment day of Christ in heaven with Christ. And I can look to the left, you can look at me and you can say, "Pastor, thank you for hassling me." Thank you for hassling me, because I can see the fulfillment of what you're talking about, what you are talking about. Do you understand? So I'm going to stop here tonight. And again, this is the first part that we're looking at. I've looked at what is purpose. We've looked at the fact that God has, you know, that, well, the fact that fulfilling God's purpose for our lives is what really brings satisfaction. And that's what will bring satisfaction at the end. The third thing is God's purposes are, in my own categorization, in two forms. There's this physical one, and there's a spiritual one. The fourth point I made is that God gifts every single individual to fulfill their purpose. So anything that you're doing or that you're meant to be doing, God gives you the ability to do it. And the last one I looked at is, why should I care about God's purpose? And I said, look, that's what really counts at the end of the day. Every other thing we do is fantastic and we should, but we need to keep sight of the fact that, look, there is a purpose that is important, and that is the spiritual purpose that God has called you and I to. All right, so I'm going to stop there tonight and I'm just going to pray. I'm just going to stop the recording.